Now we're hoping to have them in Zion, Amud Aleph, the third line. We're still in the middle of talking about the dinim of Einah, of overcharging or underpaying for things, where we established earlier in the perek the thresholds for them, less than 1/6, we say the person is moichel, exactly 1/6, the sale is still valid, but you have to return them the extra amount, and more than 1/6, bitul mekach, the whole transaction can be canceled. So now Mishnah had mentioned that there's several things to which Einah doesn't apply. Land and shtaros and slaves. Mishnah had given them in the order of slaves, shtaros, and land, with the idea being land. You have the pasuk says that Einah only applies to something davar nikna miyad liyad, something that goes from hand to hand, which Karka is not. Avodim are similar to Karka in various ways in halacha, and shtaros is in gufan mamon, and they're not intrinsically something worth themselves. Only you generally keep them only for the proof that's in them, for the raya that's in them, and therefore it's not gufan mamon. Actually the Gemara had talked about where if you are using the shtaros as the goof of them, for example, you sell them as paper to somebody who can use them to wrap spices in, that's different. Anyway, so the Mishnah had said there's no Einah when it comes to land. So Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chasta, Boi Rav Am. Rav Ami asked the following question. When we say Einah Ein Lahem, what about Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahen Ein Lahem? Would we say that so there's no Einah when it comes to 1/6, but would there be Bitul Mekach if the difference was more than 1/6? Would we say that, in other words, would we say when it comes to Bitul Mekach, in a way we look at it is, it's not so much a matter of Einah anymore, it's a matter of Bitul Mekach, it's a matter of that the sale itself was a fraudulent sale, and therefore maybe we should say the same thing when it comes to Karka as well, or Avadim, or the rest of these things. So that's the question. Amar Rav Nachman said, Rav Nachman says, Hodo Amar Rav Chasa. Later on, Rav Chasa said, Poshit Rav Ami, that Rav Ami answered the question and said, Einah Ein Lahem Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem. There isn't Einah by them, but there is Bitul Mekach by them. So if the difference was more than a certain threshold, then there would be Bitul Mekach. So therefore, we would say that the sale is void if it is a difference of more than 1/6. Now, what that more is, actually, Tosfos discusses over here, and a number of other Rishonim discuss that there are other Gemaras, including later in Ar Masechta, that imply that when it comes to Karka, you have a much higher threshold. You have over there that even you have Karka was sold for twice its real value, Einah Ein Lahem Karkos, and that's a lot more than 1/6. So Tosfos discusses that maybe Rav Nachman, who says that later, maybe disagrees with what it says over here. Maybe Rav Nachman over here is only maybe first of all that when you say over here Bitul Mekach Yesh Lahem, maybe we mean there is Bitul Mekach, but not at the threshold of 1/6 like you would usually have, but rather the threshold of Bitul Mekach for land would be a lot higher. It would be on the order of, it would be when it's more than, when it would be when it's more than 100% markup. So that's, Tosfos brings that possibility that maybe that's how it is. And then a number of Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rif and several other Rishonim, they say that no, there's a machlokas between the sugyas over here and the halacha, like Rav Nachman later on, where he's saying over here what Rav Chasa says, or actually the gist that we have in front of us is what Rav Ami says, but not that Rav Nachman himself agrees. So it ends up being a machlokas between the machaber and the Rama. The machaber passed things like that there's never any bitul mekach for land, even if it was sold at far more than its true value. And the Smith points out doesn't mean you're allowed to do it, just means that if you do, there's no Bitul Mekach. On the other hand, the Ramah brings the opinion of Tosfos over here that there is Einah when it comes to land, but only when it comes to a markup of over 100%. So if you have land that was supposed to be worth 100 and you sold it for 200, then that would be, and then there would be Bitul Mekach. The Gemara continues. Reb Yona Omar, the Gemara says, as far as the following statement that we're going to talk about, we're going to bring something from Reb Yochanan about whether there's Bittul Mecca, which is going to bear on what we just said. So the Gemara first brings, by way of introduction, Reb Yona Omar Hekadeshus, Reb Yumi Omar Akakoiz. Reb Yona says that the following statement of Reb Yochanan that we're going to quote refers to Hekdesh. Reb Yumi says it refers to Karka. V'tavayu Mishmeid Reb Yochanan, both of them are saying the following Omru, but V'tavayu Mishmeid Reb Yochanan Omru, both of them are saying the following in the name of Reb Yochanan. They're saying, Oina Eimahem Bittul Mecca Yashlahem. There isn't a no when it comes to these things listed in the Mishnah, besides for Avodim, Shtoris, and Karkos. We said also Hektish, is not subject to a no, as we're going to discuss further on in the Gemara, what that means exactly. So Reb Yona and Reb Yumia are Reb Yona is saying that Reb Yochanan would say when it comes to Hektish that there is no a no, but there is Bittul Mecca. Reb Yumia says that Reb Yochanan is referring to Karka, that there's no Aina, but there is Bittul Mecca. Manda Omar Hekdeshus, Reb Yona, who says that Reb Yochanan is referring to Hekdesh, Kol Shekein HaKarkos, he would say all the more so that it refers to Karka, that once we say that there is Bittul Mecca, because Bittul Mecca is not part of the Dinim of Aina, it's a separate thing. So then, in that case, so if by Hekdesh we consider it a Mekach Tos, even though we could say, what do you mean? The Hekdesh belongs to Hashem. There's no Tos when it comes to something involving Hashem. And still, nevertheless, we would say that the Gizbar of Hekdesh is able to do Bittul Mekach, is able to cancel the sale. Then all the more so when it comes to somebody else, who may well have made a mistake, and therefore he can be Mevatel it, because he can say, I never would have bought it if I had known that it was so, that it was overpriced. So Reb Yona, in other words, would say that Reb Yochanan's din actually goes on everything in the Mishnah. He said it originally on Hekdesh, but in fact the same din would apply equally well to Karka and to Karka and Avodim and so forth. Manga Omar Akakos, on the other hand, Reb Yumia, who says that Reb Yochanan's din goes only on Karka, Avala Hekdeshus Loi, he would say when it comes to Hekdesh, then no. We would say that with Hekdesh, there's no Torah. Okay, you, the Gizbar, obviously could make a mistake. You're only a human being, but we don't care about that. It's not your own goods after all. It belongs to Hashem, and Hashem doesn't make a mistake. And therefore, he would say that no, there's no toast when it comes to Hekdesh, the Kiddush Shmuel. And the reason would be based on what Shmuel says. Da'ama Shmuel, Hekdesh Shava Mana Shechilei or Shava Pruta Mecholol. Shmuel says that, in fact, if you have Hektish, which is worth a money, which is 100 zuz, and you're mechalin on Shavu Prutta, which is worth a lot less than that, mechulo, then it is validly, the chilo is valid, and therefore the object is, in fact, now chulin. So there's no, because in other words, we don't apply the whole concept of Aina when it comes to Hekdesh. So we don't apply the concept of Bittul Mecca according to that way of looking at it either. So that opinion of Reb Yumia would hold that Reb Yochanan holds like Shmuel in that regard. Which, by the way, I mean, so when the Beis Mikdash is standing, we don't mean that Shmuel is saying you should do that Chatchila, but yeah, that you did that, then fine, it's Mechol, as we're now going to discuss in the Gemara, whether in fact you need to make up the rest to Hekdesh. Nowadays, when we have no Beis Mikdash, then definitely, if a person is Makdash something, or also when it comes to Maisa Sheni, which you need to be Mechalo, then even Mechatchila, we can do on a Shavu Prota, even if it's worth a large amount, because otherwise all the money is going to have to be destroyed, is going to have to go to waste anyhow, we're going to have to throw the money into the Yalamelach or something like that, so therefore wind it up or whatever, so therefore anyway, it's going to go to Yibud, so therefore we can do on a Shavu Prota. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam, well, we learn in a Mishnah, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech and Me'ilah, that something that bears on that. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah is in Tumor, actually. The Mishnah describes a case where a person is, you have a case where a person has a Masech, the Tumor talks about, talks about the din of tmura, where a person has an animal, a peckfish, and says, I'm exchanging it for this other animal, where the Torah says he's not allowed to do that. And if he does it, b'hayahu tmurasei kodesh, then both of them have kedusha. So the Mishnah describes, if you say this one is instead of that one, or tmuras that one, or whatever, then it's a valid tmura. He's not allowed to do it. He gets malchus for doing it, but nevertheless, it takes effect, and the new animal gets kedusha. On the other hand, if we're talking about if the original animal was a tumim, that was meant for a korban, because it doesn't have a mum, then you can't be mechalal on another animal, but if it was a bal mum, then he is able to be mechalal. So now the Mishnah says, so if the animal was of kodshim was a balmum and he's mechalal on another animal, yotzalacholin, it does go out, it does become cholin by saying that I'm mechalal on another animal, but tzorech lasis la'idamim. However, you do have to figure out the value of it and pay hektish the appropriate amount, meaning if the new animal that you're being machalal, the old one on, so you had animal A, which was kodshim, but it has a mum. Now you're being machalal on animal B. If B is worth less than A, then you're going to have to figure out how much less it's worth, and you're going to have to pay hektish the appropriate amount. So what does that mean that you have to do that? That it becomes cholin, but on the other hand, you have to make dummy for it. Rabbi Yochanan says what it means is that minat Torah the animal is completely mechulal. So even if the new animal, even if animal B is not worth as much as A, nevertheless it's still valid. You're mechulal the complete first animal. But midirabanan, we're going to say that you need to figure out the amount and pay hektish the extra amount so that hektish doesn't lose out. But minat Torah would be valid. Because he used a new animal which is worth less than the old one. Therefore, we would say that we're going to tell him that the entire first animal is not mecholo. No, we're not going to say that the entire first animal is mecholo and loses its kedusha, and now it has the dinim of an animal that was brought back from Hektish, where you're allowed to shaft it and eat it and whatever. But midrabanan, you have to add the dung. But Rishlokish ama aftzorek lasis le dung minatoda. Rishlokish says that no, even minatoda, you have to add the dung, you have to add the extra amount. And according to Rishlokish, in other words, without that, you're going to have, in effect, you're going to have bitul mekach. You're going to have that the Hektish is going to be able to say, that the second, what do you mean, the second animal that you're exchanging for the first one, that you're being mechalal, the first one and the second one, is not worth enough. Therefore, you haven't been mechalal the entire first animal. So maybe you haven't been mechalal any of it. Maybe you've only been mechalal an amount equal to the amount that equal to the value of the second animal. So this bears on machlokas before. So, b'maya skinan. So, first of all, we have to figure out what's the actual difference in value between the first animal and the second animal. Are you going to say that it's talking about within the amount of ayna, that the difference between them is less than 1/6? How could Rish Lakish say that in that case, in that Torah, you have to add the extra amount? Didn't the Mishnah say that you don't have ayna on various things, including hektish? So there's no ayna. Then obviously, if it's less than 1/6, then exactly 1/6, then how could Rish Lakish say that minat Torah you're gonna have to make up the amount? The whole point is we said that minat Torah there's no ayna when it comes to kachin. Ela bitul mekach. So are we talking about that it's a large enough difference that there's going to be bitul mekach? Well, then the question is, b'ha lema Rabbi Yechanan tzorech lasis le'damim medivrehem. How then could Rabbi Yechanan be saying that only midrabanan that you have to figure out the amount and give hektish the extra amount? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yechanan said about what did Rabbi Yechanan say? Tabayim shmei Rabbi Yechanan ami ein lahem bitul mekach yesh lahem. Didn't we just say that according to Rabbi Yechanan, According to Rav Yehuda's understanding of Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan is saying that by Hekdesh there's no Bittul Metach, then there's no problem. But according to Rav Yehuda, where we said that according to him, there is Bittul Metach when it comes to Hekdesh, and how much more so when it comes to Karka, so then, according to Rav Yehuda's understanding, according to Rav Yehuda's version of what Rav Yochanan says, how could Rav Yochanan be saying that on the one hand, that there's Bittul Metach when it comes to Hekdesh, and on the other hand, be saying that if you're machalal an animal, a balmum, on another animal, then we don't care what the difference in value is. Then I told him, the chilul works. How could that work then? Rav Yochanan would be contradicting himself. Now, Tosfos points out, why don't we want to answer that Midat Torah, you don't have to add the extra amount, but Midat Bonan, you do. But then the Tosfos says that there'd be no practical difference between the Einah of Hekdesh and Bittul Metach. Either way, Midat Bonan, you'd have to add the amount. Besides which, according to the opinion that Abraham Bittul Metach, according to Rav Yehuda, you would say that even the Rambam, you don't have to add the amount. What do you mean? Yad Hekdesh Ala Yona, Hekdesh always has the upper hand. You should have to pay Hekdesh the extra amount. Therefore, the Gemara can't assume that it means that Rav Yochanan would say that only Midat Rabbanan, you have to add the amount. According to Rav Yochanan, it would come out that if we're going to talk about whether it's Mechulal or not, would be on a Daraisa level. And the question is, and Rav Yochanan is contradicting himself, is it that Midat Daraisa works and the Chilul works, or is it that Midat Rabbanan, it works and the thing is Mechulal, or is it not? It seems Rav Yochanan seems to be contradicting himself whether it actually works or not. When we're talking about it's more than the threshold of Einah. And if it's less than the threshold of Einah, then Rav Yochanan would have, then Rish Lakish rather, would have no reason to say, then in that case it shouldn't be Mechulal. Okay, so the Gemara answers la'olam the Bittul Metach. In fact, we could say we are talking about when the amount is the difference in value between the first animal of Hekdesh and the second one, which is not, is enough to be Bittul Metach, more than 1/6. The Eikach, the Rav Yochanan, the Shlokish, or the Shlokish, the Rav Yochanan. What we have to say is we have to flip around Rav Yochanan, the Shlokish's statements. Rav Yochanan would be the one who says that Midaraisa doesn't work and you have to add the extra amount. And Rish Lakish, what we before attributed to Rish Lakish, so what we attributed before to Rav Yochanan would actually be Rish Lakish's opinion that Midaraisa works and only Midarabanan you have to add the amount. And what Rish Lakish had said, you'd say, actually belongs to Rav Yochanan, that he would say that Midat Torah you have to make up the amount. So that would fit with Rav Yochanan's, that would fit with Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Yochanan. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, you wouldn't flip it around, because according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yochanan was being very consistent. He was saying that there's no Bittul Metach when it comes to Hekdesh, because again, based on Shmuel's din, that you could in fact be Mechalal Hekdesh, which is worth more on a lesser amount than it would work. So therefore, according to Yemia, there would be no need to flip around Rav Yochanan's opinion. Only according to Rav Yochanan's understanding, who says that by Hekdesh there is Bittul Metach. So according to him, you have to flip around Rav Yochanan's opinion when it comes to the case and when it comes to the Mishnah and Tumura with the two animals in order to make Rav Yochanan's opinions consistent. Whether it means, by the way, whether all this means when we say then that Yotzal Acholim, when we're saying that Rav Yochanan had said in the original version, and now we're saying the possibility that we have to flip it around, when we say Yotzal Acholim, the Tzorach Lasis, I mean, there are in fact actually different understandings among the Rishonim what it means. Does it mean that they both agree Yotzal Acholim, and the question is only whether we have to pay the difference Midar Aiso and Midar Banan? You have an understanding. Tosfos mentions it over here, as we said, and Rashba also explains that that in the original version, with that according to Rabbi Yochanan in the original version, and according to the Shlokish in the new version, was saying that Midaraisa, yes, that according to him, it's Yatsa Lacholin, and you have to make up the money Midarabanan, but according to the Shlokish, we would say that according to the Shlokish in the original version, and Rabbi Yochanan in the second version, we would say that we would only figure out how much of the animal is included, of the original animal, included in the value of the second animal, and that would be what goes out the whole end. So we would say, let's say, if the original animal was worth 100 and the second one's worth only 50, it would mean that only half of it has become whole then. And in order to use the entire animal, you'd have to pay the other 52 hektish, whereas according to Rav Yochanan in the original version, slash your shlokish in the second version, you wouldn't need to, only the Drabbanan would you need to pay that. And then you have an explanation that the Ritva says, the Machlokas says whether the redemption, whether the Chilul is Chal at all, according to the Yechon in the original version, and that it actually does work, and according to the Shlokish it doesn't, Bechlal, and then there, and now the Gemara is flipping around the opinion, according to the Yechon anyway. So the Gemara says, B'maitim B'chagi, well, what would be the underlying Machlokas? So whether you have to make up the money minatoro midrabanan or the different possibilities that we're saying, whether the chilul actually even works or whether it works only partially, so it would be b'dishmul. It depends that they're arguing within what Shmuel had said before. Dama Shmuel hekta shav manah shechilul or shav prota mechulul. Shmuel had said that if you take hekta which is worth a manah, which is 100 zuz, and you machal it on a prota, on a shav prota mechulul, then it is mechulul. So mar isled Shmuel. So the opinion that holds that you don't have to make up the extra amount or that the chilul works even if it's worth a lot less would agree with Shmuel, and therefore it is a valid chilul. Now the Rosh points out, Shmuel is not saying that you have to add the extra amount. Here we're saying that at least midrabanan, you have to add the extra amount, because the difference is there he actually meant to use a pruta, whereas in the Mishnah and Tzmura, he meant to use an animal that's approximately equivalent to in value to the original one, but he made a mistake. So therefore we should make him make up the extra amount because he did indeed mean to be mechal that way. But Shmuel would be talking about where the Hatzila means to do it on a shavu prota, and then in that case we say that it's mechol. So one opinion agrees with that, the mar lesle to Shmuel, whereas the other opinion does not agree with Shmuel and says that and says you can't do that. So therefore he would say there is bitul mekach, and therefore when the difference is more than when the difference is more than a certain threshold, whether the threshold is 1/6 or whether it's something else, then we would say it's no good, and Hektish was able to undo it and say that you weren't mechalal it unless you pay the original amount. So there are Rishonim who point out that Rashi comes out from Rashi, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing precisely on what Shmuel is saying, do we accept it or not. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who say that it's not exactly the same thing, again, because you can distinguish between what Shmuel was saying where he didn't mean to, Shmuel is saying where he did mean to be machal on a shavu prota, whereas the case we're talking about over here is he didn't mean to defraud Hektish, he just didn't know how much the new animal is worth relative to the old animal. So it's related to Shmuel's din, but it's not exactly Shmuel's din. So Shmuel is saying in short that you don't have to add the extra amount, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying so one way of looking at it is Rabbi Yochanan in the original version agrees exactly with Shmuel. You don't even have to make up the original amount. At most you have to do the Rabbanan, and again on the basis of the idea that there you meant to do the right amount, and then Shmuel's then you're not. Whereas the other opinion would say we don't agree with Shmuel and you can't do that in the first place, and therefore we have Bittul Mekach. So the Gemara says, another way you could look at it is they both agree with Shmuel. B'dieved, if it was done, then it is done. This would be rather as follows. One opinion says only if b'dieved, if you're machalit on a shavu prota, then it works. But you should not do that because you have like this. It actually explains that you have the word in the pasuk when it talks about being, when it talks about being oja, an animal of hektish, the pasuk uses the expression erkacha. So one way of looking at it is that erkacha means, erkacha literally means its valuation. So one way of looking at it would be it has to be the exact value. And if it's less than that, then it's no good. The other way would say it means any value is good enough min haTorah. So now we're saying another possibility is they both agree with Shmuel's din that erkacha means only any amount, but the machlokas would be marsava shechilolei machilolei. One holds that only b'diyeva you machalole on a shavah pruta. Then yes, but the chili you shouldn't do like that. So that opinion would say that even minatoda, you have to add the extra amount. And without that, you don't have a valid chilul. Well, mar sava chilul hatchila. Whereas the other opinion, the opinion that originally we attributed to Rabbi Yochanan, and now we said it actually Rish Lakish is, we would say according to one possibility anyway, we would say that according to that one, we would say that erkafa means even erech kol dehu, means even any amount of erech, and therefore min haTorah you wouldn't have to add anything, and only drabbanan would need to add. Only drabbanan would need to add something, but the chilul would have taken effect. The chilul would have taken effect. That's according to Rashi. The chilul versus b'diavad means exactly what it usually means. Chilul, if he shouldn't do it to begin with, but if he did it, then it's done. Tosfos gives a different explanation. That chilul means that where the person is acting in a chiluldic way, doing it b'mezid versus b'diavad would mean that he didn't realize what he was doing. So the opinion that says l'chila would say that even though we would say even when he did l'chila would mean that he meant to be mechalal. So l'chila rather would mean like this. L'chila would mean that he meant to be mechalal on the proper value, but he made a mistake. That would be when we're saying that since he did mean to do the right thing, then we're not going to say that he would have to add the extra amount. But if he did it b'mezid, if he did it knowingly that he's defrauding hektish, then everybody would agree that he would have to that he would have to add the extra amount. Because you're certainly not allowed to defraud, cheat hektish. So therefore, they would say that in that case, according to Tosfos's way of understanding it, we would be saying that when he did it l'chatchila. So when he did something he meant to do the right way, then we would say that midaraisa he doesn't have to add anything, and only midarabanan he does. But when he did or the two opinions would say, one would say he has to add the extra amount on a daraisa level, the other one would say on a midarabanan level. But if he meant to defraud hektish to begin with, then everybody would agree that he has to add the extra amount. But they would still agree with Shmuel's din that it is possible to be mechalal on a shavah pruta where he actually meant to be mechalal on the right amount. Again, nowadays we apply Shmuel's din even lachatchila because anyway there's no hektish for the money to go to. So far what we've been saying is we said that we had to flip around the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish in order to make them consistent, because here we had before Rabbi Yonah saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan there is bitul mekach when it comes to hektish. On the other hand, we were saying based on the Mishnah in Tzmura, it sounds like there's no bitul mekach. Rabbi Yochanan is saying yotzal l'chol and dvar Torah. So that required us to flip around Rabbi Yochanan's and Rish Lakish's opinions and to explain what we mean by yotzal l'chol and when we say that you have to pay the extra amount and when not. So now, Boisema, now you could say differently, now all of this was based on the premise we said that we were talking about the amount of the difference between the first and the second animal was equal to the threshold of Aina, or more than that, and that's why we said that would be, otherwise we said if it was less than that, how could Rish Lakish say that you have to add the extra amount if there's no Aina on Hektish, and there's no Aina on Hektish, and if it's 1/6, then you shouldn't have a problem, even according to Rish Lakish. Now the Gemara is going to say, Boisema, or you could answer, in fact, we could be talking about where the difference in value is more than the value of Ma'arimah. You don't actually have to flip it around. over the Rechis, the Kamitli. You could say the opinion that we originally attributed to Rabbi Yochanan is indeed Rabbi Yochanan. The opinion we originally attributed to Rish Lakish is indeed Rish Lakish. We don't have to flip around, but Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself, because he said before that according to Rabbi Yonah's version of Rabbi Yochanan, we said that there is Bittul Mekach when it comes to Hekdesh. And here, on the other hand, we had Rabbi Yochanan explaining the Mishnah in Tmura to be saying that when you're Mechalal, an animal, a Baal Mum, on another animal, then it works in Yotzel Acholin, even though the second one is worth less than the first one. Now we could say instead, the Loi Tekoch, you don't have to flip around the opinions, or within Rav Chisda commitly, because we could say Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing within Rav Chisda's statement. Because Rav Chisda says, Nai ain't Mohem Aino, ain't Matur Aseino. When the Mishnah had said that there's no Aino when it comes to Hekdesh, we've understood it all this time to mean there's no Aino by Hekdesh in the sense that even if the amount that Hekdesh was overcharged or underpaid, is 1/6 or more than is 1/6, nevertheless there's no Bittul Mekach. But now we don't say Machzu Aino. We don't say that you're required to pay the extra amount to Hekdesh. Now we would say differently, that actually the priester is saying on the contrary. Elohim Aino, when it says there's no Aino, when it comes to Hekdesh, means on the contrary. In the Torah say no, means the regular rules of Aino don't apply to them, but in the other way, namely, that even if the difference was less than Kedei Aino, even though when it comes to a Hedyet, there would be Mechila in that case, by Hekdesh you would say that, even when there's less than that difference, then choser. So now the Shlokish would hold like Rav Chisda. So he would say tzorech lasis ledomim. Now Tosfos points out that this is only by Hekdesh. By Karka, Rav Chisda would agree that it means that there's no Aino by Karka. Again, we discussed before Machlokas Rishonim whether that means even if the Karka was priced far higher than it should be, even more than double what it should be, or not. But in any case, definitely not a threshold of 1/6. So now Rav Chisda is saying by Hekdesh the other way around. By Hekdesh, any difference is something that you have to pay back. So therefore, Rish Lakish would hold like what Rav Chisda says. Therefore, he would say, you're machal animal A on animal B, and animal B is worth less than A, even if the difference is less than 1/6, then by Hedyot, you would say that he's moichel on that. By Hekdesh, we don't say that, Rav Chisda would say. You have to make up the difference. Therefore, Rish Lakish is explaining the Mishnah in Tmura in that vein. So he's saying you have an original animal, the Baal Mum, that was worth 100. You have a second animal that you're being machalit on, which is worth 90. The difference is less than 1/6. Nevertheless, no good. Unless the chilul was no good unless you pay Hekdesh that extra 10. So Rish Lakish would hold like that. Rabbi Yochanan would not hold like that. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold, Eino Aino Hekdesh means exactly what it sounds like, means that Hekdesh is not subject to the dinim of Aino, and therefore that even if you're Mechalal, the first animal on the second one, even if the second one worth far less than the first one, then nevertheless it does work, maybe Midrabanon, you would have to pay Hekdesh the difference. Okay. The Gemara says, Mesvi, then. I have a contradiction then on what Rav Chisda is saying. A Braisa says, Ribis v'Aino v'Hedyet v'ein Ribis v'Aino v'Hekdesh. The Braisa says there is Ribis and there is Aino when it comes to a Hedyet, when it comes to buying and selling and then lending money and whatever. When it comes to a Hedyet, there's Dinim of Ribis, which we're going to discuss in the next parak, and there are Dinim of Aino, as we're discussing over here, but v'ein Ribis v'Aino v'Hekdesh. But those Dinim do not apply to Hekdesh. So that means, in other words, there's no Aino for Hekdesh. Meaning, in other words, that it would mean that what are you telling me, Rav Chisda, that it means there is Aino from Hekdesh and it's even more stringent than with a regular person? This Braisa is saying, on the contrary, there is no Aino when it comes to Hekdesh. The Gemara says, Mi alim mas nisim. So what? Is the Braisa any stronger than our Mishnah, the kingdom of Torah Aino, where Rav Chisda is understanding that when the Mishnah says that Elu She'im Aino means that, I mean, is not that there's no Aina, but on the contrary, that the dinim of Aina are stricter with them than they are with a regular person. Well, Hachanami, the same thing in the Braisa. Ribis vidin Aina v'hedya, it would mean that there's a concept of ribis and the din of Aina, the threshold of one stick below which there's no Aina, by a hedya, v'ein ribis vidin Aina v'hektish, whereas when it comes to hektish, there's no din Aina. You don't have that threshold of 1/6. Well, the Gemara says, so, and the Braisa is telling us that when it comes to Hektish, it's more stringent. And the Katani Sefer, and what do you mean? The Sefer continues in the Braisa, there you have a stringency in Hedyet more than you do have, more than in Hektish. Adrabba, then it means the other way around. It means that when it comes to Aina, Hektish is stricter, that you have a lesser difference of less than 1/6 is going to be no good. Is going to be that it wasn't a valid transaction, and Hektish can cancel it and say that your thing is not mechulal unless you pay the extra amount. So the Gemara says, you could say aribis. You could say that the Sefer is talking only about ribis. That we're saying that by a head you have the concept of ribis, by Hektish you don't have the concept of ribis. Not necessarily maybe by Aina. In fact, the Braisa is not saying that the Braisa is not addressing the fact that by Aina, in fact, it comes out that Hektish is more common. So the Gemara says, listening nami zechom behektish and behedyet Aina. So in that case, then the Braisa should say the other way around as well. It should say there's a chumra, you see that there's a chumra in hedyet over hektish, namely when it comes to ribis. By hedyet you have ribis, by hektish you don't. On the other hand, then the Braisa should continue. There's also a chumra in hektish when it comes to hedyet, versus a hedyet when it comes to Aina. So why didn't the Braisa mention both of them? So the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta, how are you thinking to even ask that question? When it says Zeh, where Zeh is a miyut, meaning that there's only this, you have a Chumra and a Hedyet and a Hektish, we understand the Tuloy, it means there's no other. You have a Chidush over here. Normally you expect Hektish to be more stringent than Hedyet, and here you have an exception. So therefore, the Braisa will be saying Zeh Chomer, and in order to stress the Tuloy, you shouldn't think there are any other ones. There are no other cases where Hektish is where Hedyet is more Chomer than Hektish. Ela Hektish Zeh Chomer Tuloy. But when it comes to Hektish, how can you say this is the Chumra of Hektish over Hedyet, as if it were to imply there's no other Chumras? There are lots of things in which Hektish is more Chumra than Hedyet. Therefore, the Braisa couldn't say Zeh Chumra the Hektish for the Hedyet. That would imply that there's only the one thing, and there aren't. There are lots of other things. So that's the gifts that we have in front of us over here. Tosfos actually points out there are other things where we find a chumra of Hedyet over Hektish. For example, we said in our Mishnah that Shremachinam would have to swear on if he's watching something of a Hedyet and something goes wrong with it, he has to swear that he wasn't kosher, whereas by Hektish he doesn't need to. And you have other examples like that. We said there's no Tashlome Kefa when it says it's a Hektish and so forth. So Tosfos actually explains differently. So the point is, Tosfos says rather what it means is to bring that there's a chumra of Hedyet over Hektish, there's a chidush in that. But to say that there's a chumra of Hektish over Hedyet, there's no chidush. There are many cases where there's a chumra. So Tosfos is saying we wouldn't say the suloi, there's no other ones. We would just mean Tosfos actually takes out the words of suloi. There are many others, but the point is there's no chidush in mentioning that a Hedyet is more chumra than Hektish, because we have other examples in our Mishnah of that. But to say that Hektish, there is a little bit of a chidush in it, and therefore, so it would say Zeh to stress that point. But when it comes to Hektish over Hedyet, there's lots of things in which Hektish is more chomer than Hedyet, and therefore there's no reason to even say Zeh. So you could in fact say, Rav Chista can understand the Braisa to be meaning that by Hektish there's no din Aina, meaning you don't have the regular thresholds of Aina. Even if it's less than 1/6, you still have to make up the difference to Hektish. And I'd say Zeh Chomer Behedyet and Behektish, because there is a way in which there is a Chomer of Hektish over Hedyet, namely in this, when it comes to Aina. But the Braisa is not mentioning that, because we know there's a lot of Chomeres in Hektish over Hedyet, and there's no reason to highlight that one. The Gemara says, now, when we said ribis the hektish, hechidami, what kind of case are we talking about involving ribis involving hektish? Do we mean that the gizbo lent somebody money of hektish, lent him $100 worth of hektish, and the other guy is supposed to pay back $120? How are you talking about that? You're saying there's no issue of ribis over there. Valei mal a gizbar. Hadn't the gizbar himself committed me'ilah because he gave out money of hektish for cholin instead of bringing in anything for hektish? Meaning, in other words, that the only way when you have money of hektish, you can only be mechalalit on something. You can be mechalalit on somebody's work, or you can be mechalalit on an object that they're giving to hektish or whatever. You can't just lend money of hektish out. So in that case, if he gives out money of hektish and now puts it in somebody else's possession, now he's committed me'ilah. So therefore, so he thought that's allowed in order to raise money for hektish. It turns out that not, but the money goes out the holding. So obviously there is a problem with ribis. And Tosfos says that you can't say that the gizbo deliberately lent him out, knowing that it's still going to remain hektish, where therefore then the din is it doesn't become holding. Because then the loiver would be also to use that money. So then there's no ago netter. The whole point is, we mentioned before, and we're going to discuss in the next paragraph when we come to the dinim of ribis, the whole concept of ago netter, the idea behind ribis is that, what is also as ribis? When you're getting paid something extra for the fact that you're waiting to get paid back the keret. So a classic case of ribis, I lent you $100, I'm expecting back $120 means as a reward for the fact that I'm waiting to collect my $100, you're going to give me an extra $20. That would be ribis. And all the cases we're going to learn in the next paragraph involving where you have buying and selling, where also you have issues of ribis, is all based on the same premise of agar netter. But here you don't have that. If the guy can't use the money, then there's no agar netter, because then there's no valid loan if he did it for mason. And if he did it for shoygig, then it goes out the cholin. And then, of course, there's ribis on it like there would be by any cholin money. So what are we talking about? For kiven shemal gizbar, once the gizbar committed me'ilah, yotzu ma'osa b'cholim, and the money goes out b'cholim, b'havid lo'ud hedyet. Now it becomes money of hedyet, and obviously ribis applies to it. So what does the b'raisa mean? That there's no ribis when it comes to hedyish. Rav Hoshea, hocha maya skinan. So Rav Hoshea explained, we're not talking about an actual loan. What we're talking about is a sale. What we're talking about is one of those cases that we're going to deal with in the next paragraph involving pre-sales where you have issues of ribis. So you have like this. You have a concept we're going to learn in the next paragraph that ain poskin ala peris acha yotza hashtar. You can't make a contract, you can't make a contract in advance about that you will sell me peris for X amount until there's an established price. Once there's an established price, if we have, for example, an established price that there's going to be that a pound of these pears sells for X amount, or maybe we could talk about in wholesale terms, a ton of these pears sells for X amount, then we're allowed to make a contract then and say that I'm going to prepay you the money and you're going to supply me with pears throughout the year. And even if the price goes up, you're going to continue to supply me at the current price, such a thing would be mutter. But lo yotza shahar, if you don't have an established price yet, then you're not allowed to do that, because then you have a problem of ribis dirabonim, because again, you have agar netter. You're gaining something for the fact that the other guy is holding on to your money. However, with hektish, that doesn't apply, says Rav Hoshea. For example, you have the example, Kuvenshah kivul olav l'safik slosis me'arba. Hektish would make contracts with people things for the Bais Mikdash. The Bais Mikdash needed a lot of things. They needed animals and birds for korbanos. They needed wine and oil and flour and so forth. So suppose, for example, somebody accepted that Hektish made a deal with somebody that he's going to supply flour for the Bais Mikdash for the korbanos mincha a me'arba at the rate of 4 saw per sella. The umdu mishalish, later on the prices went up and now you can only buy 3 saw per sella. So now, with a hedyot, you wouldn't have been able to do that in the first place, because now you're gaining something. You're gaining agar netter. The other guy is supplying you more payers in reward for the fact that you gave him the money in advance. But by hektish, such things are allowed. So therefore, and the guy is going to have to supply them at the rate of 4 sah to the seller the entire year. So even though now the four sah is actually worth 1 seller and a third of a seller, he's still going to have to supply them at the rate of 1 sah per seller, of 4 sah per seller, the original amount. Kedetanya, as in fact we learned in Brai, so Kedetanan really, it's a Mishnah in Masechta, it's a Mishnah in Masechta Shvalim, Hamakabal Sapik Slosses Mehavra, when a person accepts on himself the deal that he's going to supply Hekdesh with flour from Anapas at the rate of 4 sah to the seller, the Omdu Mishalish, and later on during the year prices go up, and now it's worth 3, now a seller will buy only 3 sah, the Sapik Mehavra, he still has to supply the whole year at 4 saw to the seller, even though he's losing out. And the other way around, Misholish Ma'amdu Ma'abra, what about the other way around? If the deal was that Hekdesh will pay him 1 seller for every 3 saw, and now prices went down, and now the same seller can buy 4 saw, the Sapik Ma'abra, now, from now on, once the prices change, he has to start supplying that 4 saw to the seller, because Shayad Hekdesh, because Hekdesh always has the upper hand. The idea being, in other words, that we learned earlier in the parak, the point of Yochanan and the halacha is like him, that minatora mois koinus, minatora, once you pay money, there's a kinyan. Only the rabbanon do you need meshicha or some other form of kinyan. So now what we're saying is that, if they paid him in advance, they were koina. So therefore, so now when the prices go down and therefore the seller will buy more flour, then it means, in other words, they have already, so we say that Hekdesh was zoicha in them. So rather, if it goes up in price, then that still belongs to Hekdesh. He can't change his mind. He can't start saying I should supply at a lesser value because Hekdesh was koinah with their mothers. As far as prices go down, we say that a hedyot shouldn't be stronger than a Hekdesh. That a hedyot, after all, is koinah with meshicha. So until they did Meshicha, they could say, well, we shouldn't have to buy from you at the higher price. Now we can go find somebody else we can buy from at a lower price. So therefore, he's going to have to sell them at the lower price. The Gemara does point out elsewhere, of course, we have earlier in the parak, we learned that in that case, there would be Mishapara, but you can't apply Mishapara to Hekdesh. So that's why it works. Yad Hekdesh Allah Yoyah. Anyway, so Rav Hoshi is saying, so when we talk about lending, when we talk about Hekdesh and Ribis, we don't mean actually lending out money of Hekdesh. What we mean is a case like this, which would be Ribis de Rabbanon, and nevertheless, Hekdesh is allowed to do that. They're allowed to make a contract in advance for Paris, for flour in this example over here, even though a Hedyot would not be able to do that. Tosfos actually discusses that if Yotza Hashar, then a Hedyot would be able to do that as well. And if lo yotza hashar, then the fact is, again, you're giving out money of Hekdesh, you have to be machalad on something. So what are you being machalad on if the guy doesn't have that whole year's supply of flour right now? Tosfos explains that you could have, for example, Tosfos delineates out a case. You have a person was menaviv to give a certain amount of money to the Bais HaMikdash. He wasn't yet makdish that money, then he gave it to the baker on the deal that the baker is now going to supply Hekdesh, with flour throughout the year. Now you could be talking about that there's a case we're going to learn in the next paragraph you can have where there are different prices, the same way as nowadays, for example, you have wholesale versus retail prices. Back then, for example, you would have the price of, you would have the specific price of people who are already harvesting the grain early, but there's not a general price for everybody yet. So again, with a hedyot, it would be also because you could easily confuse with the case, what kind of price is already established versus by not, but by Hekdesh we will allow it. So Rav Hoshi is saying that's the case where you have ribis by Hekdesh. Rav Papa says you could actually be talking about an actual loan. You were asking before that if the Gizbar lends out money of Hekdesh, then he's machalalit. If he does it for Shogim, then he's machalalit. And then, of course, Ribis would apply to it. Rav Papa explains, Hocha ba'avne binin, I'm a service for Gizbar askinin. We're not talking about lending out money. We're talking about lending out stones for building that have been, that are in the possession of the Gizbar. The stones have not, they've been given to the Gizbar to build into this mikdash, but they haven't actually been declared hekdesh yet. So now at this point, the Gizbar is allowed to lend them out because at Ribis, because he's not the one collecting the Ribis, hekdesh is. So, and why is the Gizbar allowed to lend them out? Because they're not toydish yet. Kiddush Shmuel. Because what Shmuel says, the Amash Shmuel, Bonin Bechoyo Vachakach Makdish. Shmuel says, when we build in Hekdesh, we don't, to begin with, when they build buildings of Hekdesh, buildings of this Mikdash, they wouldn't buy the stones and the mortar and whatever out of money of Hekdesh, because people might inadvertently do Me'ilah with them. A person might, for example, during the work, sit on one of the stones, for example, and then he'd be committing Me'ilah by doing that. So instead, what they do is they buy it on credit. They remain Choyl until they're built in. After they're built in to where they're supposed to be, then they pay, then Hekdesh pays money for it, and they buy them and are makdish them. Another example, Rashi says, if, let's say, a person on his own is menadev stones to the smithers, he doesn't call them Hekdesh until they're actually built in. And that way there's no possibility of Me'ilah until that's dealt with. So therefore, Shmuel is pointing out that the stones at this point are not actually Hekdesh yet. Therefore, the Gizbar could lend them out to somebody else, and even lend them out at Ribis, because it's not he who's collecting the Ribis, it would be Hekdesh, and we're saying there's no Ribis when it comes to Hekdesh. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, when it comes to the four things that we listed in the Mishnah, and we said Avodim and Shtoris and Karkoris and Hekdesh, Ein Ben Tashlomei Kefil, besides that we said that there's no Einar with them, which we've just discussed what that means. Does it mean there's no Einar in them at all? Or does it mean, like Rakista had said, on the contrary, it means at least when it comes to Hekdesh, Einar applies to them more than it would to anything else. Namely, that even if the amount, even if the difference was less, then you have to make it up. Anyway, we said also in the Mishnah that Tashlomei Kefil do not apply to any of these four things. Menahani Mili, so where do we know that from? The Tanur Rabban, we learn in Braisa. The Pasuk says, when it comes to the dinim of Tashlomei Kefil in connection with a Shomer, it says, our kol dvar pesha, the Pasuk goes, our kol dvar pesha, for anything where a person is careless, al shura hamar al salma, and it mentions four specific things, our kol aveda, for anything that's lost, ashur yema ki huzeh, where the other person says, this is it, and this is my thing. So we have a klal of prat to klal over here. Our kol rapesha klal, al shura hamar al sal sama prat, our kol aveda ashur yem a chozer a kolal. So you have klal of prat to klal, you have to don have pain akra. So it means that we say that the klal includes only things that are similar to the prat. Ma prat, the kodesh dogra, ma tal to the gufay moment. Just like the prat refers to something which is just like the prat includes only things that are movable. All four things mentioned in the passage, Shur, Hamur, Seh, Salma, are movable. The Gufay Mammon, and they have intrinsic value. Afkol, Dharma, Metalta, the Gufay Mammon, the same thing, anything else, in order to be subject to the Dinim of Tashlomei Kefil, has to have those details. Dharma, Metalta, the Gufay Mammon. Yotsu, Karkor, is Shane, Metalta, and therefore that excludes Karka, which is not Metalta. Yotzu avodim shuvukshul karkoris, and excludes avodim which are compared to karka. Because we have the pasuk says about avodim knanim, v'isnachaltem oisam levneichem lo reshos achuzah, you should bequeath them to your children to be an inheritance. So therefore, they're considered like karka in that sense, which is also called an achuzah. So avodim are excluded because they're compared to karka. Therefore, tashlum kefil doesn't apply if a person steals karka or if a person steals avodim. A yotzu shtoris and excludes shtoris. Sha'af mishum metalpin ain't gufan mamon, even though they're metalpo, they don't have intrinsic value. The basic value of shtar is only in what's written in it. Now again, we talked about before, the Gemara had talked about previously, and involvement in days, you could have a case where a person uses a shtar as a piece of paper. Then it does have intrinsic value of the paper. But here we're talking about the regular, generally, we talk about the value of a shtar is in what's written in it. So it's unlike the four things mentioned in the pasuk. So those three are excluded from the Shlomei Kefil. And Hekdeshes, Amakro, Re'ehu, Hekdesh is excluded for a different reason, because the Pasuk says Re'ehu, which implies Re'ehu, the like Hekdesh. So only your fellow man is of the concept of the Shlomei Kefil, but not when it comes to Hekdesh. So that's how we know that, Kefil doesn't apply to any of those four things. We've learned before an interesting point that Amsham Shinafal Hirsch makes in this, you would think any human being would think that Hekdesh ought to be more severe than Heviot, And yet we're saying in this case that no, if you steal from Hekdesh, you don't pay for Shlomo Kefil, whereas you pay from a Hedyot. If you steal from a Hedyot, you do. This is one of the strong proofs, he says, that the Torah really is Minash HaMayim, because no human being would come up with such a concept. Okay. Then we said that the Lord Tashlomi Dalad Behavahola, we said there's no Tashlomi Abab Hamisha when it comes to these four things either. Now, by Tashlomi Abab Hamisha, you don't have those Miyotim. So, my timer, the reason is Tashlomi Dalad Behavahola, but Tashlomi Shlosh of Abab. Because once we're saying there's no Kefil, now the Tashlomi Abab Hamisha, when it comes to an animal, and Rashi had pointed out in the Mishnah, by the way, that when it comes to of these four things, obviously it doesn't apply to character, it doesn't apply to avodim and shtaris, because those are not animals. Necessarily, it refers only to hekdesh. But the point is, suppose a person steals and shechts or sells an animal of hekdesh. Now, there should be tashlumei abav chamisha, but the tashlumei abav chamisha, four for an ox, five for a sheep, include the tashlumei kefil. What you have is the person is paying kefil, and then on top of that, he's paying an additional two extra times for a shur and three times for a set. So if you, but if you don't have the tashlumei kefil, then there's no, then it comes out the tashlumei abba would really be shloisha. It would really be only three times the keren plus the two extra times, and tashlumei chamisha would really be arba. And the Torah doesn't say that there's a three or four times; it's four or five times. So once we say there's no kefil, automatically there's no tashlumei abba chamisha. Okay, we said in the Mishnah also shem chinam ein mishma that a shem chinam wouldn't swear, that a shemachinam wouldn't swear about what happened to the animal when it comes to what happened to the object when it comes to these four things, avodim, shtaris, kakoris, and hektish. And we discussed there was a machlokas we showed him on that. Does that mean Tosfos says that it means that even if he was pesheya, he also wouldn't have to pay. There was a machlokas we showed him on that, whether in fact if he was Peshea, would he have to pay? So the Tosfos, in fact, holds that, and the Rif holds that as well. On the other hand, the Raivad and the Ramban disagree with that and say that no, the Shem Chinam would have to pay if he was Peshea, which say if he wasn't Peshea, if there was Gneva, Abedo, or Onus, or what have you, and he's swearing on it, then when it comes to these four things, there's no swearing for the reason that the Gemara is going to say now. So Manani, it's Tananabana. We have a similar Braisa when it comes to the Shem Chinam. A similar kind of klal of profit fall. Piyutin isha re'ehu klal. When it says a person gives a pikotin to somebody else, that's a klal. A kesef a kalim, prat. It says that he gives him, he gives him money or kalim, that's a prat. The gunav nivesa ish, and the pasuk continues, it was stolen from the person's house, chos of a follow. So there you have another klal, or the parallel Gemara in the parallel Gemara that we learned in Baba Kama says actually instead of gunav nivesa ish, says that the actual klal is the word lishma. It says kesef a kalim lishma. So the lishmar is, you see the way, gunam vesi ish, or lishmar, in the case of CB, chos of a kolo, is a klal again. So klal of prat, yes, don alakena prat. So again, we make a klal of prat, ma prat reported to dover a metalkal, the bufe mom, and again, both kesef and kalin are metalkalin, and they have intrinsic value, af kol dover a metalkal, the bufe mom, and therefore the dinim of Shem Chinam swearing would apply only to Dovra Metalton, Gufay Mammon, Yotzu Karkoros Chain Metalton, therefore excluding Karko, which is not Metalton, Yotzu Abodim Shavuk Shal Karkoros, and as opposed to Abodim, which are compared to Karka, Yotzu Shtoris, Shavuk Shal Metalton, and Gufay Mammon, and as opposed to Shtoris, where even though there is Metalton, they don't have intrinsic value. Hekdeshis, Amakor, Re'ehu, Re'ehu, Gloishal Hekdesh, and again, since it says Re'ehu in the Psukim over there, so we say not Hekdesh, because Hekdesh is not Re'ehu, is not your fellow Yid. And the same thing we said in the Mishnah, Moshe Socho in Mashalim, that in the case of Neva Aveda for Shema Socho, he wouldn't pay when it's dealing with one of these four things. Fuller, same thing, Menani Mili, Tanan Ambonim, we have another Braisa, when it says by the Shema Socho. You also have similar Psukim. Kiyitin Isha Re'ehu Klal, the Pasuk says, he gives to his fellow Yid, is a Klal, Chamura Shore Seprat, he gives him a donkey or an ox or a sheep to watch, that's a Prat, Behol Behemel Lishmo, he gives him any kind of animal to watch, Chosim Apollo, then that's a Klal again. The Psukim, by the way, don't spell out that the first part is talking about Shem Chinam, and the second part is talking about Shem Asafa, later in the Masech, the Gemara explains how we see that from the Psukim. Anyway, so again, klal prat, klal yes, don al kena prat, Ma'aprat Mefurish Dagra Metaltal Gufay Mammon. The prat is metaltal and an intrinsic value. Achpola Dagra Metaltal Gufay Mammon. The same thing. Anything else that that Hashem is suffering should have to pay for is going to be the same thing. Yotzer Karkois Shein Metaltal, as opposed to Karka, which is not Metaltal. Yotzer Avodim Shehu Kshla Karkois, and as opposed to Avodim that are compared to Karka. Yotzu Shtaris Shapri Shematatman and Gufan Moment, and as opposed to Shtaris, even though the Metatman, they're not, they don't have intrinsic value. Hekdashis, and why is Hekdash in a different category? Amakra, because again, the positive is Re'ehu Veloy Shal Hekdash, Re'ehu Veloy Shal Hekdash, only from his fellow man, not from Hekdash, so therefore Hekdash, again, there's no payment of a Shemas Zafa. Tosfos actually points out that the Gemara in Baruch Kama actually learns from the pasuk that Gunav Beis Ha'ish, it was stolen from the man's house, meaning not from the house of Hekdesh. So that would be a different reason to be Mamayat Hekdesh. Actually, Tosfos points out that also in Baruch Kama, the Gemara mentions over there that each of the Protim over there, Chamor, Shur, and Seh, each one is meant to be Mamayat something else. One is Mamayat Avodim, one is Mamayat Karakal, one is Mamayat Shtaris. And therefore, so really, the fact that we're saying the follow prat over here is really only an asmachta. The primary din that we learn, the primary din that we learn from each of these pratim is not a follow prat of klal, but rather that we're learning that each, that since it says shtur means not avodim, since it says chamur means not karka, and so on and so forth, and that's how we learn that the dinim of kafel don't apply to any of those things.